Tonight we're in the book of Luke chapter 14. As we continue, we'll look at another parable this evening. Luke chapter number 14, notice verses 7 to 15. Verse 7 says, "And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, which he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be," what's the next word? "Blessed. Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Verse 15. "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these studies on your word, Lord, the parables that you taught, Lord. We thank you for the blessing it's been to sit under your word and Lord, to understand, Lord, a little bit more about what you have said so that we, Lord, can grow and be changed and glorify you more so through our lives. Lord, teach us once again this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. 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 So here we see in this parable in Luke chapter 14, it's a parable about those who are blessed. Verse 14 says, "And thou shalt be blessed." And we're reminded this evening, aren't we, that God wants to bless us. He doesn't want us to go the wrong way. He wants us to go along the path of blessing. And yet we have to be reminded that God's way of blessing us is so often different to the way we live, contrary to how we think. Verse 11 says, in fact, "For whosoever exalteth himself or lifts himself up shall be abased," shall be put down. And then the Bible says, "And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted," just like 1 Peter chapter number 4. The Bible says, "God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble." So this is a parable ultimately about humility and the way that God blesses. God blesses humility. And he wants us to humble ourselves and to be increasingly more humble as we grow. So three things we're going to look at this evening. In this parable, firstly, the rebuke of Christ. The rebuke of Christ. So there in your notes, the first blank is the word rebuke. Now, from verses 1 to 6, we have the background to what's happening, why the Lord taught this parable. And it's an interesting situation because so often we see the Lord enter the home of the poor, the sinners, the publicans. Of course, he was criticized. But in this situation, he entered the house of the chief Pharisee. Notice verse 1. "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him." Now, he wasn't an invited guest because these weren't his friends. In fact, as you know, the Pharisees were his enemies. They were looking to accuse him of something. So the chief Pharisee, here's the picture of what happened. He invited his mates all over, his other religious friends, and he wanted to be the one to catch Christ doing something wrong, to be able to accuse him of something, and he wanted to be lifted up in the sight of his friends. So he invited all his friends around, and he invited Christ also, and then they invited a sick person. Notice there in verse 2, "And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" Now, can you imagine what was happening? There was Christ. There was this house full of religious Jews. The chief Pharisee owned the house. And they invited along a sick man, a man with a grave illness, to see what the Lord would do. Would he work on the Sabbath? Would he perform a miracle on the Sabbath day? Now, they didn't bring the sick man along because they cared about him, did they? No, they didn't care about his healing. They didn't want him to be healed like the friends brought their friend who was lame. No, these were hypocrites, religious, cold hypocrites. And they were watching. And the Lord knew that they were watching, didn't he? He knew that they were watching. So he asked them two questions. They're in verse 3. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Is healing, helping someone, loving someone, is that against the law on the Sabbath day? Well, they couldn't answer him. Verse 4, they held their peace. And the Lord took him and healed him and let him go. And he answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? So the Lord was saying to them, and he rebuked them. He said, You would show more love to your animal, to your ox, to your donkey, if they fell into a pit, than you would this sick man. And so, as he taught this parable, and they could not answer him again, because they knew that they were in the wrong, they would not answer him, the Lord taught this parable to rebuke them for their pride. For their pride. That's what it's about, exalting themselves and the need to be humbled. And the illustration that the Lord chooses is in fact a very, very harsh one, because he uses the very illustration of the setting that he's in. He uses the illustration of being an invited guest to a wedding, but really he's talking about the situation he's in. Can you imagine the tension in the room? Wow, the Lord was bold, was he not? And the Lord wasn't teaching, he was preaching. I'll tell you what, as he taught this parable, he was preaching. Can you imagine the tension? And the Lord was certainly bold. And as he speaks this parable to them, we need to understand that in biblical times, in Eastern culture, they had certain rooms and certain seats in rooms that were more important than others. There were higher rooms, there were lower rooms, and we understand that there was a chief seat which the most honourable guest would sit in. And he would, the one that would sit in that seat, that chief seat, would be the one that gets the most honour, the most attention. And in verses 8 to 10, he basically says and rebukes them for what they didn't do. He said, if you're invited, don't go ahead and take the best room and the best seat. No, you should go to the lowest room and take the lowest seat. And the Lord rebuked them for what they had not done. You see, when the chief Pharisee invited all these religious Jews to the home, what did the Lord witness? He witnessed them clamoring for the best seat in the house and clamoring to sit in the highest rooms. And the Lord, Jesus, was the spectacle, and yet, in fact, he was the one, wasn't he, that deserved that chief seat. He was the one that deserved the chief seat in the house. And this was a rebuke. The Lord basically said to them, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You ought to be ashamed. You are rude, you are proud, and you in fact deserve the lowest room. You have sought the highest, but you deserve the lowest. You've sought after the chief seat, but you don't deserve any seat. And the Lord rebuked them for their pride. For their pride. Now the application for us is very clear, isn't it? We need to ask ourselves, well, do we need to be rebuked for our pride?
Do we need to be rebuked for our selfishness? How do we live as Christians? Because we do need to be rebuked. You know, our sinful nature is much stronger and much greater than we think it is. We think we're much more spiritual, but at the end of the day, who do we live to please? Do we live to please ourselves, or do we live to please the Lord? Now, when push comes to shove, oftentimes, most often, we have to admit we live to please ourselves. We make decisions based on how they will affect me. Will things come out the best for me? If they won't, well, I'll avoid that. I'll go down a different path. And see, the Lord rebuked these Jews, these religious Jews, for their pride, for seeking to please themselves first. You see, God wants us to trust in Him. Now, living by faith means living humbly. That means you and I being an open book and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Whatever it is. Lord, I've got some plans in mind. I've got even a desire, a decision. But Lord, what is your decision? What would you have me to do? That is trusting in the Lord. That is faith in the Lord. Not making up our mind until God makes up His mind. Until we know His mind. Amen? What is it? Don't quote me on that. Until God makes up His mind. Until we know His mind, we don't make up our minds. And you see, so often we make up our minds about all sorts of things in life. Why? Because we're living to please ourselves. And Christ's rebuke is a rebuke to us. When we live by force and not by faith. What do I mean by that? Well, we force things to happen. If it's not happening, well, we'll make it happen. We'll work as hard as we can, and I tell you what, we won't stop until we get it, because we've convinced ourselves that we won't be happy unless it turns out my way. And in fact, God tells us it's the opposite. He says, if you humble yourself, I will bless you. I will bless you beyond what you think is the best for your life. So in a broader context, the application is for us. And we need to be careful about forcing our own way, seeking to put ourselves first, exalting ourselves before others. Because God takes care of us. God takes care of us. We need to be careful of our sinful pride that seeks to be the one who gets the praise, that gets the attention, that is the one who is the focus of attention, because that's what our sinful nature wants. And we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. And in this context, we need to ask the question, well, are we willing to be despised in the world's eyes? The Lord did not have a problem with being despised in front of others. What He sought was the glory of God. The Lord glorified the Father. And that's how He lived. That's how He ministered. And He was willing to be despised. And we need to be willing to be rejected in the Lord's eyes so that we may boldly say, amen, Hebrews chapter 13, the Lord is my helper. You see, when we put the Lord first, the world will see something amazing. A faith that they don't understand. I remember when I was at work, and one of my producers in the company I was working for, she said to me, what are you going to do after you graduate from Bible college? And I said, I don't know yet. Not sure. And she said, well, you're investing 3 years, you're leaving your career, and you don't even know what you're going to do after that. And then I said to them, well, I don't know, but God will show me. And she was shocked. Absolutely shocked. I didn't realize until later the impact of the faith. Just the simple faith, communicating that to someone who's lost, and they were shocked. They were shocked that we can trust in God with the unknown and with the unseen. You see, that's what the world needs to see. But when you and I take hold of our lives and we live as we please, and we're not trusting in the Lord, we're forcing our way to the top, forcing our way to get the best, to be the best, the world sees that too. And you know what? That's exactly how they live. The Lord wants us to be humble. Am I exalting myself or am I seeking God's glory? Amen? Am I seeking God's glory? That's the rebuke of Christ. Now notice the example of Christ in verse 11. The Bible says, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now, the Lord was obviously teaching a lesson, but he was the example of his very lesson. Is he not? The Lord took the lowest seat in the room, and he took the lowest place on this earth, didn't he? Because the Lord practiced what he preached. He humbled himself. Look with me at Philippians chapter number 2. We'll take a moment just to look at another verse, a few verses. Philippians chapter number 2. Notice the description of Christ's humility. In Philippians chapter number 2, at verses 9 to 11. Verse 5 to 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So he's our example. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So the Lord is our example when it comes to humility. The Lord is our example. He humbled himself. Now, what was the result of his humility? Notice verse number 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the example of humility in this parable, not only in this context, but also in the greater context of his crucifixion. The Creator became the one to be cursed for us. He became sin for us who knew no sin, the Bible says. So we, who are the cursed ones, can be freed, can be saved, can be forgiven. He paid for our sins. He took upon himself our shame, and he died for us. And he is our example. Whenever our flesh gets in the way and seeks to live and convince us that we have the right to live for ourselves, we don't. And we need to continue to remember that Christ is our example. Amen? He came to be a servant. He humbled himself. Now, as he continued in this parable, there are two parts, because he goes on, after speaking to the guests who were clambering for the best seats, he goes on in verse 12, back in Luke chapter 14, he goes on to speak to the host of the gathering, the chief Pharisee, in verse 12. "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends." So what did the chief Pharisee do? Well, he called all his mates. Why? Because he wanted to show them how great he is in humiliating Christ. He wanted to lift himself up. He wanted the praise. He wanted to be the one to say, this chief Pharisee was the one to catch Christ out and to have the right to put him to death, to accuse him, to have wherefore to accuse him. And so the Lord rebuked the Pharisee, and he said, this is what you should have done. Instead of inviting all the people that could have done something for you, given something to you, why didn't you invite those who could give you nothing in return? Why didn't you invite the poor? Why didn't you invite the maimed and the blind? If you did, you'll be blessed. Now, they couldn't give anything to you, the Lord says in verse number 14. They cannot recompense thee, but you will be rewarded in heaven. You will be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So the Lord said, and he rebuked him for only inviting those who could give him something in return. And he said, go and find those who have nothing and give them everything. And again, we see the example of Christ. You know, I think about the last chapter in the book of the Revelation. Whosoever will may come. That's the invitation of the Lord. Let him come and take of the water of life freely. We've been invited to the marriage. Amen. We've been invited to come. Everyone, the world has been invited to come. And the Lord has not invited his friends. The Lord has invited his enemies. You and I who are poor, who are maimed, who are blind. You and I who could do nothing to earn salvation. You and I who could do nothing or give nothing to God. We can't give anything to him. In fact, the best that you and I can ever bring to God is what? Our sins. The best thing that we can bring is our filthy, wretched sins. That's all we can bring to God. But what does he give to us? What does he invite us? He invites us to be saved. He invites us to be forgiven. And Christ wants us to follow his example. See, when we think about the Lord and what he's done for us, we are humbled, aren't we? You know, when you and I find ourselves saying, hey, I deserve this. You know what the world says? You do.
That's right.
You owe it to yourself. Have you ever heard that before?
Yes.
You owe it to yourself. What on earth does that mean for a Christian? You owe it to yourself. What do we deserve?
Nothing.
Nothing. The Bible says we deserve nothing. The Bible says we deserve eternal damnation. And it's only because of the mercies of the Lord we are not consumed. We are forgiven. What do we deserve? Well, we deserve a life, to live a life of gratitude. That's how we should live. And sometimes we think, well, I deserve this, I deserve that, I deserve this praise from that person. Or I deserve more gratitude, or I deserve a better position. You know, I don't deserve being treated like this. Well, the Lord is our example. And if we keep our eyes on the Lord, we can live humbly. And we can be a blessing to others. Imagine how this life of humility, or a greater attitude of humility in our lives, because we're all growing, just a greater attitude of humility, imagine what a difference that would make in our homes, in our families. I'm not here to be served, I'm here to serve. I'm not here to get all the attention, amen? My jokes don't need to be the best in the house, and everyone doesn't need to think that I am the best. You know, I'm here to be a blessing. I'm here to honor others. God says, if that's how you choose to live, I will honor you. That's how the Lord blesses in our workplaces, in our neighborhood, in our church. Amen. If we're seeking our own attention, God will resist us. And he will have to humble us. The reason why we come to church is to glorify the Lord. Not to seek our own. And God says in this parable, be careful. Be careful of seeking your own. The flesh seeks its own. Notice the promise of Christ as we close. Verse 14. Notice verse 14. Here's God's promise. We've already read it. Christ said, they cannot bless you. By the way, be careful of doing good to others in order to get something from them. The Lord says, just be a blessing. Don't expect anything in return. And the Lord said, they cannot give back, but guess what? I will. That's what the Lord promises. This is a promise of God. They cannot give anything back to you, but don't you worry, I will. I note everything that you do, the Bible says. The Lord notes everything that we do in the Lord's name. And if we want to be blessed, this is the path. To give our life to the Lord for others. To give our life to the Lord for others. And so the rebuke is there for us if we live with the goal of getting instead of giving. We all need to grow in the area of giving rather than getting. Too often we want to get, we come to get, we have a passion to get instead of to give. And this is a rebuke to us in our pride. Now there was one man, can you imagine, one man in the entire room that believed the Lord. Again, that's also a rebuke too. One man in the entire room, you'd think there would be more that hear the word of God and say, yes, I believe you. I believe you. In verse 15, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now that's just another example of our hard hearts. You know, we still have a sinful nature. And we need to be careful of hearing the Word of God and saying, hey, that's true, I agree with that, that's nice. But say, come tomorrow, and we need to make a decision, and push comes to shove, am I going to live by faith, or am I going to seek my own? That's when our faith is tested. When we need to make decisions that impact our lives. Will we seek God's glory, or will we seek our comfort? Will we seek His will, or will we force our own will? We need to be a people of faith. We need to listen to the Lord. The Lord knows the path of blessing. And He says to us, walk ye in it. This is the way I bless. You just humble yourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. You don't worry about exalting yourself. You just honor me, you humble yourself, and I'll take care of the rest. And that is hard for us to do, even when we're seeking the Lord's will. So often we seek our own, don't we? So we need to continue to allow the Lord to rebuke us, allow Him to help us in this area of humility. And if we ever think we've come to a place where we're humble, then we're probably struggling with a lot of pride still there, because that's a proud statement to say we're humble. We're not. So let's allow the Lord to help us in this area. The Lord is our example. Receive His rebuke and expect His blessing. Amen.